Introduce yourself, please.
I am State Representative Barbara Bollier, representing District 21 in Kansas.
That is a familiar voice, and I'm pleased that you're back here. But first, we're going to hear the open. This is Statehouse Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go.
And joining Barbara and me this morning, this fine Saturday morning in the KCUR 89.3 production studio, Jose Faust from Kansas City, Kansas. Jose, thanks for being here. And covering health news like a damn blanket, my friend and colleague Andy Marceau from the KHI News Service. Andy, thanks for coming over from Topeka.
Thanks, Sam.
Barbara's been over here before, so we are going to begin by asking for an update on your kids and your pets.
Kids and pets. Well, exciting. My son, Bobby, truly it is. My son, Bobby, is continuing to be a professional swimmer out in California as he strives to make the Olympic team. He was third last time, so missed it by one, and is working hard. My daughter, Anne Marie, is studying to get a master's in public health in Melbourne, Australia.
Wow.
Their lives kind of around.
So much more interesting than my life. Remind me what your son's event is.
200 butterfly, and Michael Phelps is back, so people know, and he will be swimming, and yes, he is the best in the world, and I compliment him on that, so.
And pets? I can't remember your
Samantha
pet story.
Samantha and Sias are two cats, and they are aging. Samantha's an old lady now. We love her dearly. She looks like a kitten still, but she's becoming a crotchety old woman.
And the other cat?
Sias, he was an adopted black cat, and as our son said as he came to visit last night, how much weight has he gained? So he must be visiting State Health Live and having donuts.
And having
too.
Donuts? Yeah, he's going to the special cat sales at
yes.
the John Space Age Donuts
yes.
In downtown Overland Park. All right, Barbara, I want to touch on some purely political questions today with you. Some potentially big education changes in Kansas, but I'm going to take our first trip around the table and ask Jose for your first question or thought for Representative Bollier.
Well, honestly, the very first thing that comes to mind is just the fractious nature of politics in Kansas. Even though it's dominated by one party pretty much, there are some real severe repercussions happening. I have two roommates, one of which is a teacher, and I see a lot of the strain that the budgets are putting on the school districts, even to the point where they're considering even moving out of state, and not necessarily to Missouri. They start to look for other options, and I see how passionate my roommate is and how much they give to get these kids an education, and it's sad to see that element kind of seems to disappear when these debates take place in the state house. So that's my question is, how have we gotten to this point in Kansas with the education system?
How did we get to this point?
How did we get to this point? Over time, with an influx of a conservative and now a Tea Party mentality of libertarianism, a move towards vouchers, charter schools, that's what that element of the state house constituency there seem to want. And sadly, less government to me is coming out as essentially no government. And government can mean public schools. A half of our budget, our state general fund, is spent on public education. That is our government. And if you keep cutting and not bringing in revenue, that's what you get.
Yeah. I want to go back. Let me just explore with you, Jose, a little bit about. So your friend is thinking about just getting out of the teaching profession, moving someplace else. And what are the reasons that you're hearing?
Well, one, there's more demand for time for teachers. So because a lot of the cutbacks, so you don't have a lot of teaching assistants that you had before. Some people left the district. They weren't replaced. So you get basically doubled up on classroom size. You end up also having, I mean, I see how hard they work. I see how much they bring home. You know, I would not want her job because honestly, it sometimes seems like an 80 hour a week job. So those constraints, those demands for more time. And, you know, the idea is that, as the representative was saying, you know, if education is such a big part of the legislative session, you know, there should be an embrace of public education and all the things that it was about. You know, Benjamin Franklin was not talking about a system that was going to be just for elites or that was going to just take and sap the money out and send it to private ideologies. You know, it was about educating the whole community, the whole public. And sadly, I think what they're looking at is going to a place that values that a little bit more than it does here. Even with things as the way they are, I think teachers in Kansas make more money than teachers in Missouri on average, because at one point they were kind of towing that line to kind of respecting that. But I think for her, it's more like a just going to another place that values that. She's always going to be a teacher because she's one heck of a teacher.
Yeah. We're going to circle back to this, but I want to bring Andy in on the conversation. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I'm kind of wondering about budget and revenue issues as well. As we know, the revenues came in well below projections in September again, and the ending balance, I think, projected for this fiscal year is now somewhere in the $30 million to $40 million range. It's getting very tight. And the governor recently told the Associated Press that in the coming session, we are going to balance the budget without budget cuts and without tax increases. So when I do the math, that means fund transfers. So I guess I'm wondering what funds are left to transfer.
Barbara, where are we going to sweep? Where's the broom going next?
No, it's fascinating because we keep taking from the bank of KDOT, Kansas Department of Transportation, and I just received in the mail one of their reports that's laid out specifically some of the things that are not being done and the millions of dollars they are not receiving and how that impacts basically upkeep of our roads and bridges, which is frightening.
The KDOT secretary said none of these big projects are being hampered or delayed by the money that was swept out last session. So what you're hearing—
That's correct.
So what's not getting done?
Well, the big projects are continuing, but the overall routine maintenance of our roads and bridges is not happening. So, you know, take what you will. Yeah, we got brand new over here, lovely at I-35, 435, K-10, which we need. But at what cost then do we not keep up what we have? And how much more is going to be spent, you know, for every dime you put in prevention? I don't know what it keeps you from spending ultimately, but roads have to be maintained or they cost a fortune.
So we're back to what we talk about the most at this table, and that is education, budget, and then the category under that. What are we going to do about infrastructure? And are you hearing the same thing at the State House, Andy, that it looks like that the thought there is going to be is going to be a sweep because that's going to be the only way to and we've talked about this last week here on this podcast, these sweeps may be happening before we get into the session as tax revenue may continue to wane.
Right. Well, what I'm hearing now is we're looking at kind of a deja vu situation. It's last year all over again, which means we wait until November to find out exactly what the revenue estimating committee is going to say our fiscal situation is. And then, you know, the governor is going to have a month or two before session to maybe make some changes, shift some things around to kind of get the house in order a little bit before the legislature gets in January, but I've heard some legislators tell me already that they think that they're going to need to be taking action right when they get in January to balance the current fiscal year's budget. And, you know, I've heard some of them suggest that the number will be negative $100 million come January for the current fiscal year, which would still be a little bit better than last year when I think that the current fiscal year was negative $200 million when they came in. But not easy, especially considering everything they had to go through last year to what they thought was balance the budget, but apparently not quite.
Yeah. So. Senator Jim Denning was on last week, your colleague from Overland Park, sat here and said that he could see perhaps having to sweep $90 million out of KDOT before the session starts. Where are you on this, Barbara?
I would say that would be a minimum. We still don't have the actual report. We don't have a decision from the Supreme Court about school funding.
Right. So, oral arguments on the November 6th.
Yes,
so we would
November
expect,
6th.
Right, we'd expect maybe something from them by the first of the year.
So that would be the good scenario.
$90 million is the best we can hope for?
Thing speaks for itself, I hate to say. I mean, there's a lot coming down, and the public better be paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Some big talk this week about some potentially really big changes in how we're might be educating kids in Kansas. I'm going to play a little sound from Education Commissioner Randy Watson, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Think about what that does to our economy in Kansas. Think about what that does to drive the middle class in Kansas. If we can just get people to show up, give us a good work ethic, that's what this is, and that's what Kansans told us too.
All right. So that's they did a big statewide tour. Randy Watson became education commissioner in July. They went around, talked to teachers, they talked to students and parents, and most especially they talked to the business community. And what they heard was, and Jose, I want to get your thoughts on this. 70% of people said, of the people they talked to, said, you know what, these soft skills, specifically communication skills, agreeability, showing up on time, as Randy just as we just heard in the soundbite, is more important than academics. What do you think about that?
I almost want to throw up, honestly. To tell the truth.
Is that what that was?
I think civility is a good thing to have. I think punctuality is certainly a thing to have, but you can't legislate those kinds of things. Those are values you grow up with. You're inculcated through your family, through your associations. I think what is more distressing, and you'll see this when you talk to people that go to college, the level of education, understanding, communication skills, writing skills, thinking skills for kids coming into college is so low. So, I mean, it's like you literally have to almost tutor your way through your first introductory classes to composition and stuff. That to me is more distressing than whether you're civil or not. This idea about showing up late to work or not being there, you know, our culture celebrates that, you know. I mean, we look at admin, right? Oh, he shows up and maybe he's drunk or not. I mean, what all of a sudden you're trying to impose a value when the characters in these shows are like very much, you know, they're the cream of the crop, the highest educated, and here's how they live their lives. And now you're going to say that that's really the problem. You know, that lack of civility, I think is really more a lack of critical thinking, allowing for critical thinking to take place, and just celebrating just basic communication skills, writing. We don't do that. Reading, we don't celebrate. We don't even encourage that. Yeah. So to me, those are the most essential.
Yeah. I mean, Jose makes a good point. 26% of kids who enter college in Kansas need some sort of remedial class, whether it's in English or math. And so now we're going down this road, Barbara, where we've got this, we've got Kansans, businesses saying that we need to concentrate on these soft skills. We're changing the test, to make it more rigorous so that we can cut into that remedial, catch those problems earlier so you don't have to have those remedial classes. And it feels like I don't know what's going to happen next in education. So I'm hoping you do. So tell us.
Well, I think it's important. I was at the presentation Dr. Watson gave this last week
in Olathe
to share what they had found on this listening tour. It's complicated. I mean, and you can't simplify, okay, so we're going to change education next year and then all will be set. It won't be like that. But I will say it gave me great hope, And it's important to understand, as we looked at things from the school board side, there is a state constitution that says very specifically that what is done in education is supposed to be guided by the state school board, not the legislature. Our role is to fund. So instead of always looking to the legislature for answers to those kinds of questions, my response is, let's bring in the school board, the state school board members, and talk to them. That is their responsibility. That's their constitutional duty. And those are the people we should be looking to see what education is going to be shaped like.
And there is, we expect to hear from the school board at the end of October about where they're going to go with this. But I'm going to assume that you have more than a passing interest in how we're going to shape education. So give me your own personal thoughts about, Jose is worried that, you can move too far away from the academics, and then we're just training people to what?
I'm not sure.
Maybe we're training them for their first job, but maybe we're not thinking so much about what their third or fourth job is. So what are your thoughts
exactly
on that?
And I agree with him. Going to the business community, it's hard to separate out for them. No offense, but we've always had excellence in education and the basics being taught. So I think, to me, some of their answers were on top of, because if you separated out good basics and took those away and then just said, well, they're going to show up on time, that's not really what they want. They want people with the basics. So the excitement ahead is, what can we do to move forward with critical thinking skills, as he said, and other ways to teach people to fit into a 21st century model, certainly focused on technology. That is what our world is. And so those kinds of things are what we are going to see slowly changing. But again, it's not going to happen overnight. And you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Hate the cliche, but the truth is, education hasn't failed us. So, our students are still doing well in society, mm-hmm. for the most part. And so we want to keep the things that work. And school in general seems to have been working over time. We do it all around the world. And we still continue to have school. So I think that's good. One of the things that I think could significantly change in our state is to decide to fund early education. That's where the critical, most impact for the dollar seems to be. The data shows that's where it can be used best. But we choose not to do that. And I think that is something that we could absolutely change and see a great impact way down the road for what people need for people to have jobs.
Yeah. And I want to bring you in and ask, Barbara says, as we go through these, try to figure out how we're going to change education in Kansas, that really is, constitutionally, of course, up to the state, independently elected State Board of Education. So do you see the legislature kind of sitting around thinking, not getting involved in that?
Well, that's not been their recent history. There's been, a lot of sort of working at the margins of curriculum, like, we want a week that is, set aside and every school district is required to celebrate freedom and talk about the founding fathers and this sort of thing. That came from the legislature. And that was, I think, something where a lot of people on the State Board of Ed were kind of like, hey, wait a second, you're getting into curriculum here. And that's kind of our stock and trade. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. And, to a certain extent, I think Jose is right on with the critical thinking aspect. I think that, there's so much information now. Everybody has got so much information coming at them at all times. I think probably most people in the legislature could agree that one of the most important things for kids in the coming years and decades is to be able to sift through that information and decide what's reliable. And that's sort of an apolitical, it can be politicized, but it should, I think, be an apolitical goal for everybody within the legislature and the State Board of Education to be able to say, we want our kids to not only be able to absorb information, but be able to, think critically about it and decide how valid it is.
Yeah, I want to go around quickly, just sort of get a yes or no question on this before we move on to politics on this education question. So, Barbara, yes or no? The overarching theme here is how do we build the best 24-year-old that we can, right? So by that time, they've either gone through college or they've had some work experience or some post-secondary. So, do you think that we need to make big changes in our K-12 education system in Kansas?
Not big, but some. Change for the positive is always a good thing. So you always look at what you can do better.
So we can do better?
We always can.
Okay. Jose, big changes or are we doing okay?
I think embrace what was the original idea of the public school system. We run away from it.
Yeah.
And it educated legions of people who we say were the greatest generation. Yeah. So I'd say go back to basics.
Yeah. Andy?
I don't know. I don't know enough about it.
You're the closest to school age as anybody here.
I was educated in Minnesota, though. So, but I would.
That's
I
the
would,
Cadillac of your public education right there, my friend.
Well, I would say, and I actually went to Catholic school, so oh. I can't speak for the public education system there either. But I would defer to the elected members of the State Board of Education on that.
Very diplomatic of you. Very diplomatic. Okay, I'm going to move to pure politics now. This week, a woman named Cynthia Holscher, am I saying that right? Do you know her?
Don't know her.
She filed to run against Representative Amanda Grossroad from Shawnee, I believe. Is that where she's from, Grossroad?
Yes.
I think so.
Lenexa.
But right. I think her...
Pretty close.
Right. But I don't know if her district comes...
Her district probably overlaps.
Okay.
Right.
All right. But you know what? Let's not get into weeds on where Amanda's from. And then Senator Greg Smith from Overland Park's already got a primary opponent for next year. So my question to you, for all of you, are we looking at a wild Republican primary season next year?
We should be.
What does that mean?
Because I think there's a very divided idea of what Republicanism is now in our state. And so I think that you're going to see the question of, is this current Republican regime policy working, or do we need to change, go back to the what would be termed more moderate style that prevailed over the last 30-plus years in the state?
So
enough
you
said.
Right. And so while we're seeing moderates line up against conservatives, would you think that you and your other moderate Republican colleagues are going to be looking at a primary? You guys have been fundraising fast and furious here over the last few weeks.
It will be on both sides. So I fully expect an opponent against me, and I would expect opponents against all of us. So I will be surprised for whoever doesn't get that, at least in the Johnson County realm.
Yeah. Jose, you touched on this at the very beginning about the fractious nature of the dominant party in Kansas. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it reflects the national party as well. And, you know, I laugh at the term the clown car when they're talking about the candidates at the national level, because what's at stake is not funny at all. I mean, we really have a very divided polity. I mean, it's not. There's no way that you can look at anything going on right now and take joy in any of what the political parties are fighting over. I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of funny, because a lot of things get said in these primaries that you're always looking for a little bite. So I'm looking forward to just laughing a lot. But at the end, I'm going to be very sad, because I think we're headed in the wrong way.
Yeah. Andy, are you are we going to see a lot of postcards? Are there going to be a lot of postcards in my mailbox?
Look, I mean, for I think at least the last three election cycles, and perhaps before that, the Republican primaries in Kansas have been kind of where it's at. I mean, and that doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon. And Jose's right on. Kansas is kind of ahead of the national trend, and now the national Republican Party is kind of catching up, and they're finding themselves in the same sort of divisive fight that the state Republican Party has been in for three election cycles now. And, you know, clearly it's affecting the Congress's ability to govern. And, you know, who knows what it will do here in Kansas. But the interesting thing in Kansas is that now you're actually starting to see a bit of a split in the Democratic Party as well. You know, you had the Democratic, party chairman resign after a few months because he suggested we need to rebrand ourselves as sort of a more centrist party, and that made folks on the left angry, and so there's a split there as well. And, you know, David Haley told me a few days ago he thinks he's going to have a primary opponent in the Democratic primary this coming election. So it could be on both sides. It could just be that, you know, there's so much money now that's coming into politics and that have come into politics since 2010 that it kind of does open up the field for candidates who they might have a very small voter niche, but they can still get funding. And so they can run. And so it could be that what we're seeing is a new trend in American politics in general, which is that you can have a fairly strict ideological position and stick to it and run against, you know, somebody who is maybe trying to have a more broad position. And that, you know, you have the advantage in the primary usually if you have a strict ideological position.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Jose Faust from Kansas City, Kansas, thanks for coming over
and being
with us today. My friend Andy Marso from the KHI News Service. If you want to know about healthcare, you have to read Andy. And you can, what's your Twitter handle?
It's at Andy Marso.
Okay. And Barbara, you're big on the Twitter. Never mind. I'm just
pay attention, and I do follow Andy, so that
well,
I know.
If you follow anybody, you should be following. You should be following Andy. Barbara Boyer, you know what happens now. We turn the show over to you, and you decide what our walk-off music is going to be. What tune is on your mind?
I was thinking today, the tune that I wanted to say isn't going to be played. It's "Sing Me to Heaven." I lost my father this year, and we had that at his service, and it is just such powerful, powerful music. But let's do instead Farrell's "Happy," because I think that in this world you have to focus on what can be and always look at the positive. And I'm always a believer in the glass half full. And even though politics in Kansas, you might not even see it as even a fourth full, but we're going to be happy.
I have to say, on a list of 1,000 tunes, that did not make it. I did not expect you to say that, but I am ever so pleased that you picked that. Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. Hey, by the way, he's got a terrific podcast called Paris and the Plains, and I think that you should go to the iTunes right now and take a listen to that. For us, you can subscribe to Statehouse Blend on iTunes. Find us at kcur.org/statehouseblend. Or our friends down the hall there at Up to Date make a little room for us Tuesdays at 11 a.m. You want to sit in where Jose was today? I'll bet you do. You can email me. I'm sam@kcur.org. And you can follow me on the Twitter. I'm at Sam Zeff. My co-host Brian Ellison is at PTS Brian. There's happy right there. I'm Sam Zeff. We'll see you next time.